Moving on from that, we have capital gains. Again, a very important exception that organizations are able to utilize. All gains and losses from sales, exchange, or other disposition of property are excluded from the computation of an organization's unrelated business income. So again, this exclusion doesn't apply to property treated as inventory that's held primarily for sales, and then the debt financing rules considerations apply. So when I've heard this come up quite a bit around the sale of property, generally for colleges and universities, the capital gain is going to be excluded income when it's real property. There are other considerations though when it's non-real property, for example, in the organization's investment portfolio. So it's key to know whether there's any debt financing involved when you're outside of the real property space, and whether the debt financing rules need to be applied. And I'll just note, because I think when I heard at the beginning that we got a lot of five plus experiences here, is that a lot of exposure to these types of items, while they come directly from the university's activities, a lot of exposure comes through the endowment and the alternative investment portfolio. So the capital gains rule really works well there, and I find is the main source of puzzlement for the IRS, that they hear a lot of, you know, returns on investments, and then they're not seeing that pass through to the unrelated business income reporting. And a lot of that is based on the exclusion of, you know, capital gains from unrelated business income that results in that dichotomy between large gains in portfolio and not so much reporting on the unrelated business income side.
And a lot of what our job ends up being is knowing the right questions to ask, right? Because someone, people are not tax people. And so they'll come to you with a question and say, they could just say, hey, we sold this property. That's not taxable, right? And, you know, your first response might be, capital gains. There's an exclusion. So, yeah, not taxable. But then you have to ask the question, how was that financed, right? It's that taking that next step to make sure that you don't just answer, oh, capital gains, we're fine, no problem. It's making sure that you're digging in far enough that wherever these exceptions are or exclusions, that it's not just that surface level question, but you dig in, because if that piece of property happened to have been debt financed, well, then you're back in the taxable realm.
And
exactly.
Aaron,
totally agree.
Aaron, I heard you mention about the endowments. What's the situation that creates the debt finance issues for the endowment?
So a lot of endowments, there's two ways that endowments can have exposure to debt. There was, for a time, college and universities, in some cases, were using some taxable debt to supplement some liquidity in their endowments and creating their own debt finance income. That wasn't as common as the general source we see, which is the use of alternative investments. Alternative investments generally are structured as limited partnerships, which provide Schedule K-1s. They have passed through tax reporting. The alternative investments will use strategies such as debt hedging to produce investment gains. And when they use debt and hedging, those attributes flow through to the college and university and are reported on the Schedule K-1 as unrelated business income. So you'll often see debt financing come through on interest, dividend, capital gains, 1231 gain lines, and eventually those need to be reported by the college and university on the 990T. So the K-1s serve as a large information source for a lot of the unrelated business income reporting that takes place for colleges and universities. And some of the debt strategies there are very complex that they use, and how they calculate debt is also and sometimes very interesting approaches to it as well.
So this is where you go and, you know, you talk to your treasury group if you have investments that are being reported. and educate them on this rule of debt financing so that they're aware that if they're using debt to purchase any of these types of vehicles, that, that you're aware of it up front.
Yeah, I was also going to say debt finance is a very tax phrase, and most of your investment people wouldn't be caught dead saying that. They're going to say, we use leverage. So think about leverage transactions, and when you see private equity, hedge fund, all those kind of prefatory words, usually they're going to be using leverage of some sort to try to amplify their returns. And so those are going to all be fair game. And when the K-1s come, you'll spend a little time studying those for sure.
Yeah, not to get too far off track here, and I'm sure they'll cover it in the main program. You know, when you know there's a lot of leverage used in a fund and how that leverage is going to be structured, some tax managers might be asked to participate in looking at fund choice, whether to enter the fund in a way that will give you exposure to that leverage or whether to enter the fund in another way that will essentially block that leverage and provide the university back a dividend, or a capital gain, which would be excluded from unrelated business income. There's a complex, you know, there's some complex calculation and considerations around that, but these exclusion rules all kind of build into and serve as kind of the building blocks for adding that value and looking and evaluating fund entry choices and frankly, the amount of work as tax manager you have to do in the future to evaluate UBI from a fund as well. So sure, much more detail on that in later sessions, but